cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, Adam Lepp, that's my name, and talking today's top technology topics on Tuesday and Thursday. Well, that's my game. Good morning. So glad to have you with us. Do I sound a little bit older than the last time that we got together? Well, maybe because last Thursday was, of course, my birthday. Not going to say which birthday it was, but as I said before, calling me a spring chicken would not be accurate by any means whatsoever. But, you know, I don't get older. I get better. And if really that is the case, then I must be pretty good at this point. Little flooding in Marion over the last couple days. Glad to report that our studio is bone dry. Not ready to become a desert or grow any cactuses or cacti or cactuses or what have you, but comfortable and dry and ready to, not really ready to rock and roll, but ready to talk today's top trendy and otherwise fascinatingly wonderful technology topics here on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at our website WWGH1071.com. One good thing about this show is that in addition to being able to listen through our website and through the TuneIn app, and of course if you're in Marion through the old-fashioned method of frequency modulation at 107.1 on your FM dial, you can watch me on live video. So if you're a Facebook friend of mine, just go to my Facebook, portal page. Of course, it's a rather long page, so we'll call it a Facebook portal, at Adam Lepp in Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy, if you're not already a Facebook friend of mine. Well, that's fine. Just request my friendship. Let me know that you're a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and I'll be happy to add you to my growing and sometimes rather large list of virtual and face-to-face friends. I'm going to go ahead and also share this video with the radio station Facebook page. Adam is live right now. See, you can hear me type in real time. And again, you can watch me do the show, but even better, go ahead and call me right here in the studio. I don't bite. Don't be shy. 740-383-9944. In a few short moments, we'll be joined by my regular brother in broadcasting, Mr. Nick C.J. from Brecon in Wales in the United Kingdom, discussing some technology tidbits and a few other items. But be sure to stay tuned for the next hour. We have a new and temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, which is on between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 today and every Tuesday until they decide to replace that with a different show. As I said, it's a temporary show, but it's a pretty good one. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, where we discuss anything, not just the technology topics that are pondered during this show. We have a telephone call. Let's go ahead and see who's on the line so we can make the acquaintance of our caller. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Thank you for calling.
Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I don't get older, I get better, and as I said, I must really be good right now.
Why do you say that?
Well, because, again, since I get better instead of older, considering how old I am, I must really be good.
If age is wisdom, you really know what you're saying.
Exactly, yes. You got that right on target, my friend.
Did you get any birthday gifts? Did you buy yourself?
Well, just some property tax bills and an electric bill. And
is that a birthday surprise or what?
Gas price is going up, so not too much, but I guess I'm still living and breathing. That's the most important gift of all.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to say happy birthday. Enjoy your program.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I enjoy your program also. Of course, this guy is the possessor of the dulcet tones that frequently grace our airwaves, and I want to thank you very much for listening and being such a fine participant and dedicated WWGH fan club member.
About your Facebook page, is that number updated every day?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, sometimes Facebook isn't quite as real-time as they claim, but, you know, that's technology for you. Always kind of keeps you guessing.
What time does your English friend come on?
I'm sorry?
What time does your English friend come on?
Oh, Nick will be on in a few minutes. So let Nick know, because he's currently connected by the power and magic of Adam's super-duper laptop. I want to let Nick know that this person on the phone with me is looking forward to hearing his dulcet tones.
I'm just going to say that.
Exactly. And Nick will be discussing some very good topics. And next hour, you want to listen, because he recently met some royalty in the UK as part of this festival that he's a participant in and does a lot of things with. I think he's also the webmaster of the festival. He can tell you about that. But he met some important British people, Camilla, and a few others. I think he and the Queen might have even had some tea together. So we'll be discussing that. You know, not just Scott has celebrity guests. I have celebrity guests also, even if it's through another person that we have on the air with me. But I guess that's all part of the fun.
I say old chap, tell a good cheer.
Exactly.
Exactly. You take care, Adam.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and we look forward to hearing your dulcet tones again very soon. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 in your FM dial, and as I say, broadcasting online by the power, magic, and general fantasticness, is that a word, fantasticness of the internet at our website, WWGH 107.1.com. And now, without further delay, drum roll please, we go to Brecon in Eastern Wales, and let's see if my brother in broadcasting, Nick CJ, is properly connected. Nick, are you there?
I am, and I'm properly connected.
Well, fantastic. Don't you like it when the wires all go in the right places? We plug A into B, plug C into D, cross our fingers, and voila, there you are. You already have a fan, the last guy that called. Hopefully you heard most of the conversation. He was looking forward to hearing you talk, discussing your latest adventures, your brushes with the royalty and the UK, and who knows whatever else. Nick, next hour, I imagine you can join me next hour. We'll be discussing your involvement with the Hay Festival. Why don't you give our listeners a little teaser as to what happened there and exactly what kind of important people that you met at the festival?
Just a teaser, though. That's all you're getting.
Exactly.
Shook hands with Camilla, Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cornwall, Prince Charles, our future king's wife. That's as much as you're getting at the moment.
Did you meet the Royal Redhead and William? Were they there at all?
No. They were. She was helicoptered in, but I'll tell you more in the next hour.
Okay, so don't want to miss next hour, because not only does Scott Spears have celebrity guests and people that know celebrities, Nick, again, he hung out with Camilla, the lovely wife of Prince Charles of the United Kingdom. So again, we have all kinds of interesting discussions here on this show. Don't want to miss it. You never quite know what we'll be doing here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Nick, did I get that right? Are you the webmaster, or you have an IT involvement with the Hay Festival also, right? There are many things that you do with that event.
I used to do the webmastering, but that got taken over because it became so big. It's a dedicated in-house team that do that now. But I still have stuff to do with security and the stewarding of the festival, which I enjoy. And I did some techie things this year at the festival, which was quite good. Saw some techie events. A lot of events about big data. Big data is the thing at the moment in the literary world and in the science world, it seems. Met lots of nice people. Of course, a lot of them are English. Do you know Stephen Fry, the big UK geek?
I've heard of Fry's Electronics. They're an electronics chain here in the US, but no. I think it's somebody different.
I meet lots of people, but most of them you wouldn't know. Oh, J.K. Rowling. You'd know J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, that would be the Harry Potter author.
Yeah, didn't meet her this year. I met her a previous year. But it's, I get to meet lots of people.
So it sounds like, next hour show, mid-morning coffee break with Adam and Nick will be quite fascinating as we discuss some important people that you've met and met during previous years and don't want to miss it. We'll talk tech topics today. I saw on the headlines, Nick, that the Paris Accord issue, that many CEOs like the CEO of Google are still supporting it. Is that a big news rumbling in your neck of the woods?
It is, and a big fear that the Donald is thinking that he's not going to sign up, which is quite scary. The biggest thing, though, that I learned this year at the Hay Festival, which I went to a lot of technical things, and I've always worried about planes, trains, automobiles, and all of their effect on global warming, etc. But the big one I heard this last week is that 14% of all global warming is basically caused by cow farts and burps. Don't know if I can say farts on here, but I've said it now.
I guess you can get away with saying that. We'll let it slide.
And it outweighs all planes, trains, and automobiles in global warming gases. Well, we're eating too many cows.
Well, that's quite interesting. So would that be a good argument for being a vegetarian? You're like a semi-vegetarian, as I recall, right?
I was a vegetarian for 15 years, and then I not saw the light, but needed to eat meat. My dietitian said, you need to eat some meat. Having trouble with joints and things, and he said, there's only so long you can be a vegetarian, and then things like joints start to give out.
We can discuss that next hour. So you're saying that being a vegetarian isn't necessarily healthy, that you need animal protein?
Yeah, 100%.
I would actually tend to agree. I eat pretty much anything, meat, vegetables, fruits, and sometimes I'm not quite sure what it is, but if it tastes good, that's good enough for me. Maybe we can discuss that next hour. But again, the Hay Festival and the dignitaries that you hung out with will certainly be a major topic of conversation.
Yeah.
There are some new smartphones coming out, Nick, again, from the LG, from, of course, Samsung, and new versions of the iPhone. From what I'm hearing, the new iPhone will have a feature where you can put on Do Not Disturb, so if you're driving, people aren't going to be tempted to text and call and otherwise distract from your driving. Any thoughts on some of this new technology? Any recommendations for our listeners as to which, if they're looking for a new smartphone, which smartphone might be a good choice?
I was always a Samsung lover, and I've got a fairly recent Samsung. And I always keep one Android and one iPhone now, so that I cover both bases. Number one in my knowledge, so that I know how to work both and repair both, but also just to keep abreast of the different softwares. But I must confess, being an iPhone and Apple loather for many years, I have seen some of the light and do prefer my iPhone now to my Samsung.
So you have switched sides a bit then?
A bit. I still keep both, but and there's a lot that I can't do on my iPhone. But for ease of use and looking at it as a consumer, not as a techie person like myself, I can see the advantages of an iPhone, that everything is in there and it's all very accessible and very intuitive.
Did you hear about that Do Not Disturb feature? And like here in the States, I would assume that texting and driving and reading emails while driving is a pretty serious problem, which we need to curb before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. I mean, I have an iPhone 6 Plus, which is a nice big one. And that does have a nice little switch on the side, which turns off the, you know, instantly cuts off the volume and everything. But I think some of it has to be your own sort of your own disciplines. Oh, sorry, I've got somebody setting off my alarm. Can you go to an advert or something, Adam?
Yes, let me go ahead and talk some technology news, Nick. I'll be back with you in maybe 5 minutes or so. See, here in live radio, you never quite know what's going to happen. We talk to somebody and maybe an issue that he needs to address, and then we move on with some additional topics. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and as I say, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Let's take a look at some community calendar items. First and foremost, as you might know, we are owned by Marion Midget Football. And I want to let you know that Marion Midget Football and Cheerleading is celebrating 45 years. Yes, they're not as old as I am, but who is anymore, right? So 45 great years of Marion Midget Football and Cheerleading. They're holding 2017 registration at Lincoln Park, and that starts this evening, starting today, and also occurring on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, between 5:30 and 7, 2017 registration for Marion Midget Football and Cheerleading at Lincoln Park, ages 8 to 12, $30 fee and birth certificate required, King and Queen sign-up, $10 fee, all ages. Also taking place June 13th, 15th, 21st, 22nd, 27th, 28th, and 29th. For more information, 382-4558, 740-382-4558 for more information on the currently ongoing registration for Marion Midget Football, which we thank greatly for being such a big part of this fine station, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Also, the Marion Christian Center and the Mid-Ohio Food Bank are partnering to provide a free produce market to Marion residents. And that's on the third Saturday of the month. Let's see if my math is correct. That would be the 17th of June. This month. It's between 12 and 2 p.m. at the Marion Christian Center. Again, a free produce market to Marion residents at the Marion Christian Center. The next one will take place on Saturday, June 17th, 12 to 2 p.m., 1550 Richland Road. 1550 Richland Road. Gosh, that's a tongue twister. That's the Marion Christian Center. Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. What do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, you might wonder? Well, in addition to talking today's top technology topics, we take a look at business news in the IT realm. We take your telephone calls. I want to thank Skip from Maine for, I don't think he's skipping work. I think he's probably at home, hanging, drinking some coffee, and watching my live video, which is available through Facebook. And thank you very much, Skip. He's also in the radio business. He's also a very good musician. Maybe he'd like to call the show and talk about a topic of his choice. 740-383-9944. You can also send me an email. Love to receive your correspondences at 740-383. That's our telephone number. Well, let me give you the phone number anyway, 740-383-9944. But again, email me on our private email server. We're just like Hillary. We have a private email server. Adam at WWGH1071.com. You may hear that I'm a fan of karaoke. In fact, I went to karaoke last night. Unfortunately, I have more of a talking voice than a singing voice. Nick will be back with us in a minute or two, but before he rejoins us, I want to tell you a bit about a karaoke trend that's happening in China. Traditionally, karaoke in China involves getting a group of friends together, booking a room at a karaoke bar, and singing a song or two. But a bunch of companies are now enabling people to use their smartphones to unlock their inner divas anytime and anywhere. A self-service karaoke booth called M Bar started popping up all over Beijing earlier this year. People can scan in using WeChat, which is the most popular messaging app in China, and they can sing for 15 minutes or an hour, all in the privacy of a 20-square-foot cubicle. Ye Guancheng, 28 years old, said it's so convenient. She was trying the karaoke booth out with a friend. He said, you don't need to have an appointment like you do with traditional karaoke rooms. The booths are also plugged into social media. Users can get recordings of their karaoke sessions sent to them via WeChat, which again is the most popular messaging app in China. They can post their greatest hits, just like an audio selfie. Sounds like a pretty fun idea. If you're a fellow karaoke enthusiast, call and let me know what you think about that. It's from the What Do They Think Of Next department. Current time here is 33 minutes after 9. But in the United Kingdom, it's 33 minutes after 2. So let's go ahead to the great UK, to Eastern Wales, rejoined by my brother in broadcasting, Nick CJ. Good day, Nick. I guess I'll just say good day because it's afternoon there and morning here. So I guess you took care of the issue there at your domicile.
Yep. I put up all the fortresses, turned the phones off, shut all the gates, and somebody managed to get in, a customer who was desperate for my attention, and managed to open the side gate and come in, even though I'd sort of shut the office up and put "we are closed." Some people think "we are closed" means, well, we might be open slightly.
I see. We did talk earlier, a couple weeks ago, when you were on, that many of your customers have had issues with the WannaCry ransomware. Has that problem gotten better, do you think? And what kind of a success rate did you have in destroying that very serious problem?
I would have said it has got better. It seems to have decreased. I just had a batch of machines came in, and I think most antiviruses beef themselves up when that happens, and you know, immediately start putting in doorways and gates and things to stop things happening. But I probably fixed about 50% of the machines. The rest of them had to be returned back to factory settings.
So, do you have any suggestions for anybody who may unfortunately be a victim of this ransomware, both to prevent it and if you do get it, what you do?
If you get it, try not to fix it yourself. Definitely do not pay to have it removed, because you might as well just set fire to some dollars in the garden, because that's the likelihood you're going to get anything sorted. And immediately that you know, just take it straight to your local specialist.
So you're saying don't by any means pay the $300 or so in bitcoins to the infectors, I guess you would call them. But you either service it yourself if you're an expert, or bring it to your favorite computer person.
Yeah, and I think if you aren't a specialist and you don't know what you're doing, you can make it worse. I have had people who've hung on past the sort of deadlines that have been given and various other things, and so everything has got locked. Sometimes it will only lock all of your JPEGs first or all of your docs first and leave your pictures free. And if you can get in quickly, it's easier to cure. If you wait until the week's gone by to see whether or not they really meant that they would lock your computer up, and then they do, it's usually a little bit late then.
Nick, do you think that the ransomware problem, because this one affected hospitals and a lot of crucial businesses in the UK. Do you think it's going to get any better? Is it kind of like spam where it's going to get worse, or will we finally get a handle on it? Is there anything that Microsoft and other manufacturers can do to try to quash this once and for all?
I think the main thing is for the customer to be aware, the end user, and also to keep everything updated. I mean, we have our sort of three main sections in the UK, four sections if you class Northern Ireland, but we've got England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Wales National Health Service didn't have any major problems. All of their systems had been upgraded, all of their systems were up to date, and they didn't have any major problems. Most of the people who had the problems were the people who were running Windows XP, which is end of life, has no updates, no protection, and that was the problem. And then they infected themselves. So, I mean, I myself run a Windows, and I don't know if any of your listeners will remember this, a Windows 3.1 computer. It has a piece of software on it which can't be cracked, can't be broken, has a piracy lock on it if I was to try and do it, so I'd lose it. So the only thing I can do is run a computer with Windows 3.1 on, and I don't know how old that is, probably 20 years old. But it runs perfectly, it runs the software that I need perfectly, and so I just keep that one and turn it on when I need it. But I wouldn't put it anywhere near the internet or an email or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, Windows 3.1, a lot of people used DOS to play games, and then when 95 came out, some of those games didn't work anymore. So there are people using the very old Windows versions, and one thing about it doesn't require a lot of computing power. You didn't need an i5 processor and 8 gigabytes of RAM like you do now. So there are some things to be said for the older operating systems, but security is the, as you know, Nick, the number one thing we deal with as IT people.
Well, it's because we're all walking around with computers in our pockets as well, with our phones and tablets and all of these other bits and pieces. That's the problem. We are fully computed now. Everything's got a computer in it. People have computers in their fridges and in their coffee machines. One of the questions actually that was asked at the Hay Festival this year was, will the next hack and ransomware be linked into some sort of domestic thing? I have heard, and I don't know if you have the same brands that we have a thing called Hive over here, which can link up your central heating and your for giving you a connected home, and they have been hacked in some instances.
Well, we do have smart homes and smart doorbells and goodness sakes of whatever else they can think of, but it's pretty much the same kind of a system, even if it's called by a different name.
Yeah, there's some of them link up to Alexa and Google Home and things like that as well. And apparently one of the ones that had left a back door in was the fact that if you walked up to the house and shouted loudly at the window, and I better not say the word, but it begins Alex and ends A, turn off the house alarm system, it would then repeat that it had done this, and then you could break into the house because you turned it off by shouting through the window at it.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and on the line with me by the magic and power and otherwise marvelousness of the, is that a word, marvelousness of the internet, it's Nick CJ from Brecon in Eastern Wales. Yes, that cool accent is real, and it's quite smashing, if I should say so myself. We are taking your telephone calls, tech topics of your choice. Maybe your printer is only printing gibberish, and maybe your server is serving you headaches, and your modem is not modulating anything other than a headache or two. Give me a call. We can solve those problems. Between Nick and myself, we have probably 80, 90 years of IT experience, at least. 740-383-9944, or leave me a message on Facebook or on my live video. If you're not already a Facebook friend of mine, I'm under Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. Current time, 19 minutes before 10 in the a.m., and that's Eastern Daylight Time. Anything else, Nick, you wanted to share with my audience?
We have a tech program which people in the States can watch if they go to the BBC website and search for a program called Click. It's a very good IT program which they provide online, and I think you should be able to watch in the States. And they had it, we had a live one, so it was a live TV program filmed from the Hay Festival, and they did some very interesting experiments and things that they let us see. One was this new thing called binaural sound, which isn't new if you're a human being, because we've got two ears, one on either side of the head, and it provides perfect binaural sound. But the binaural microphone is basically a head with two ears on the side, even with the little cauliflower-shaped protuberances that go around it. And they use it to record, they're starting to use it to record TV programs. And they've recently recorded a Doctor Who episode with it. So that if you can watch it in stereo with a headphone rather than with speakers, when somebody sneaks up behind somebody, it really does sound like they're behind you. And it is, it's making my skin crawl a bit, remembering back, because everybody in the audience had a Bluetooth headset on. And then they did their interviews around this head, which was stood in the middle of the room. And that was quite creepy, because they were literally walking around behind you and whispering in your ear and things. Very strange, and I think it's what will be the way we'll have our TV in the future.
Let's take a look. Nick, why don't you comment also after we go through this. Here are the 10 most valuable brands in the world. And this is according to an article in CNN Tech. And number one was Google. Does that surprise you, Nick, that Google is the number one brand in the world?
Nope, not at all. I think everything is going to become Google. It's a bit scary. I don't know about surprise, but it's a bit scary when anybody is the biggest anything, I think.
And Google's value is $250 billion, $245 billion, a 7% increase from 2016. They also rank as one of the world's best employers. Apple is number two, Microsoft number three, Amazon number four. Does that surprise you, Nick, that Apple is a more valuable brand than Microsoft?
Yes, I think it does, yeah. Yeah, and especially I think it was a few weeks ago we were discussing it. I was talking about the odd things that people, bad mistakes that people had made, and the third partner of Apple selling his shares for a silly amount, sort of $1,500 or something, or $15,000. And, of course, he'd have been a billionaire now. And the fact as well that I think it was about 10 years ago when Bill Gates bailed Apple out. So, very odd.
And, of course, you may wonder, where is Facebook? And they're, of course, number five. Their value increased by 27% over the last year. Must be nice to be like Mark Zuckerberg, be 32 years old and worth $150 zillion, because that's about the way that it is. Nick, do you think that Mark Zuckerberg was he just in the right place at the right time? Is he really a genius, or... What are your thoughts on this guy?
Having seen the film dramatization, etc., I think a degree of it was luck. I think he was very clever. I think they're all very clever, all of the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs and everybody else. But I do believe there's a degree of luck and a degree of timing in it, and a degree of being in the right place at the right time.
Right. So a combination, but you have to admire the guy. And Facebook is an empire which has totally changed the way that we use the internet, the way that we network, and the idea that everybody has a window to the world in his or her pocket with the smartphone and what social media can do. AT&T is number six, and they're coming close to acquiring Time Warner, the parent company of CNN. Visa is number seven. So interesting, the number one credit card in the world is well behind even Facebook. And what's Facebook, like a 12-year-old company? What do you think Facebook will be in 5 years, Nick? Will they be number one? Will the the tide ebb a little bit, or are they just going to continue to grow like crazy?
I think that's difficult to decide because you've got things. I was looking today at tech news, and the Apple HomePod speaker is about to come out to challenge Amazon. So that's going to bring even more Apple connectivity into the house. It's going to use Siri, very similar to the Alexa thing. So that's something. But when you look at Facebook and you think back to pre-Facebook, there were things like Bebo. I don't know if you remember Bebo, and there were several other chats like Bebo, which of course have gone completely. So it is fashionable, and I think one wrong move by the Zuckerberg empire could cause alienation. I think something to do with people putting up things about terrorism or something like that, people could turn against it and choose another one. So I think it's all fashion. I mean, flares were in once, weren't they?
I would say. Of course, MySpace pretty much has gone by the wayside, even though it was pretty big 15, 20 years ago. And do you think MySpace dug its own grave, Nick, by not keeping up with the times and not focusing on businesses and people of all ages? Or did Facebook pretty much do MySpace in?
I think it's a mixture of both. And, of course, you've got that same thing of, I mean, they did stick to their guns and then they disappeared. Whereas, for instance, Apple stuck to their guns and said, well, we're not going to make things like laptops. We're going to make our laptops distinct. We're going to make them smooth. We're going to make them shiny. And we're not going to bring the price down and mass market them. And it's actually worked. So sometimes it is a trend. And the trends sometimes work and sometimes don't.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting online over the entire world that we reside in at WWGH1071.com. On the line with me is Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. I said that very cool accent. It's real, my friends. Discussing currently the 10 most valuable companies in the world, and most of them, not surprisingly, are tech companies or companies in some way related to the world of IT, computers, and telecommunications. Don't want to miss next hour because Nick recently hobnobbed with some very important people much more important than myself, in the UK. He'll be talking about that, some stories from a festival that he is involved in. Don't want to miss it. It'll be grand. Anyway, getting back to our countdown of the 10 biggest tech companies in the world, number 8 is Tencent. And they're the company behind the biggest messaging platform in China. We talked earlier, while Nick was on a quick break, about a new karaoke app that they're involved in. And they are the company behind WeChat, which is big in China. And honestly, Nick, I've not heard of WeChat. I know of Tencent, but I've never used WeChat personally. It's obviously very big in China, but it's not used here in the States. Is it used at all in Western Europe, or is it pretty much an Asian system?
Only Asian as far as I know. I've got a customer who her husband went... slipped out to China for a bit to do some work. He's an air conditioning engineer, and she went to work with him, and I deal with some of her web stuff, and she had a great deal of problem getting messages out of China due to the amount of censorship that goes on. And it does appear that the censorship is enormous. Emails could take 12 hours, so they were obviously being intercepted along the way and checked. Some of them did actually disappear. They never got to the other end. So I think WeChat is the only way you can chat, and the other one, I think, Facebook is completely banned and outlawed. So
last month, Tencent... announced plans to set up an artificial intelligence research lab in Seattle, where Facebook and not, not where Microsoft, I mean, and many other technology companies where they hang their hat. Pretty much if San Francisco, the Silicon Valley, wasn't a very good minute for my mouth, was it? Silicon Valley and the Seattle area, big places for technology in the United States, and Tencent's looking to expand there with an artificial intelligence research lab. Number nine is IBM. Now, you talk about an old-school technology company, one that's had a lot of changes. Their IBM ThinkPad laptops, which were very popular 20 years ago, those are now part of a company called Lenovo, but IBM is still hanging in there. Any thoughts, Nick, on the longevity of IBM and how the company has evolved and maybe changed with the times, maybe made some adjustments, and they're still number nine with a value of $102 billion?
I think Lenovo is actually theirs. I don't think it's a separate company. I think it is a sub-company. I'm not sure, but I'm fairly convinced that they're the same company. So it's just like a trading arm of them. I can hear you clicking, so I bet you're checking it now.
You better believe it, because honestly, I wasn't. Yeah, it says that IBM has engaged in an historic alliance with Lenovo, that desktops are now part of the Lenovo team. I guess it is kind of a gray area. I think it's also like where, remember how PayPal and eBay, they were the same company and now they're separate, but they're still kind of aligned. So it is a little tricky sometimes. Sometimes ownership isn't quite as black and white as you think it might be.
No, definitely not. There's some very clever things go on behind the scenes that we don't know about. We have a company called British Telecom, BT, who do our telephone systems over here. And British Telecom, there's about 10 arms to it. One of them is a thing called Openreach, which are the people who own and control all of the wires. So if you go to Fred Blogg's internet company, he has to call Openreach, who are actually owned by BT, who have in essence a monopoly, but don't have a monopoly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's very, very complex as to who does what. And of course, they're trying to deregulate and get these people to stop doing it all the time. But
in tech, then, Nick, it isn't. Oh, you'd think, well, either they own it or they don't. And it's either it's a public company or it's not. But sometimes there are gray areas and there are a lot of alliances. And so I guess that's one of the quirks of being in the tech business. According to Wikipedia, Lenovo was founded in Beijing in 84 as Legend and incorporated in Hong Kong in 88. In 2005, they acquired IBM's personal computer business and agreed to acquire its Intel-based server business in 2014. They, as of January 2014, were the largest vendor of smartphones in mainland China. They also agreed to acquire the mobile phone handset maker Motorola Mobility from Google. That was finalized in October of 2014. So looks like they are certainly aligned with IBM and other companies, but are separate. But again, it is a gray area. There are things that affect exactly how a company is owned and managed. And many companies, as we know, if another business isn't around, they wouldn't thrive.
No, and I think if you were to do some little searches amongst companies' house and Liberia and various other tax havens, you'd probably find a few connections. Not that I'm insinuating that anybody is connected to anybody, but, you know, us mere mortals don't know the half of it, I don't think.
I guess one interesting thing, Nick, is we remember back even 15, 20, 25 years ago, a Windows computer was called an IBM compatible or IBM clone. And when's the last time either of us actually heard somebody use that term? Would you agree, Nick? I mean, that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, an HP, Compaq, at that point a separate company, Packard Bell, again, the IBM computers, even Acer, they were, you know, there was IBM compatible IBM clone. But
yeah.
When's the last time you heard somebody use that term to describe a Windows-based computer?
Well, I did use it once last week when I was telling somebody the history of my computers and the fact that my first real computer was a Wise 286, which I bought in a London warehouse from Wise, who, of course, you know, I think have disappeared now or probably only do servers. And the fact that it was an IBM compatible with a green screen.
I guess we sometimes call them Wintel, combining Windows and Intel, even though AMD makes processors that are used in Windows. There used to be a processor company called, I believe, Cyrix. Is that correct, Nick? And they've gone by the wayside, but they also made IBM compatible or Windows compatible computers.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, there's also the ARM processor, which is very big, completely different world, but very, very big and used a lot. And I think that was developed in Cambridge here, the ARM processor, but used in a lot of mobile telephones, which some of them are as strong as computers.
So I guess if you or I were to say the term IBM compatible to a younger person, he or she might say, well, what is IBM compatible? And I guess that's just kind of interesting how things evolve and how people use technology and different, I wouldn't even say generations, because as we know, computer years are, they're kind of like dog years. They move very quickly. So 1 or 2 years is like 10 to 15 people years. So someone doesn't really have to be a long-time user of technology to see all these differences in nomenclature that are taking place.
Well, what with Moore's Law, I think most of your listeners would be familiar with Moore's Law and its 18-month circuit, that everything in every 18 months doubles in size and speed. You know, that's why we're walking around with phones in our pockets that are the size of all the computers that put man on the moon.
That definitely would be correct. Well, we're going to close out the Adam the Computer Guy radio show in about a minute and 45 seconds. Once again, Nick, why don't you let our listeners know what's coming up next hour and what we're going to be talking about on a very special edition of the Mid-Morning Coffee Break.
Well, in the next hour, we're going to chat about Hay Festival of Literature, which is a nice little festival about books and authors. And also media as well, and my meeting with royalty, and my meetings with the stars over the years. I'm going to try and compile a list of some of the people that you'd know in the States that I've met. Oh, one of them this week was Bernie Saunders. Sanders, not Saunders.
Saunders.
We say Saunders over here. Sanders.
Okay, well, that'll certainly be interesting, Nick. I'll get in touch with you next hour. Thank you very much for being such a valuable part of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And don't want to miss that interesting talk about celebrities that have come in contact with people that are associated with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Not only does our very own Scott Spears hobnob with celebrities, but even my cohorts do. You've been listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. We'll take a break now for news, teasers about past, present, and future shows, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters, and obituaries, which are voiced and produced by yours truly. Be back in about 13 minutes. Thank you for listening. This is AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening.